श्रील गुरुदेव की जय, श्री महाप्रभु की जय, श्री श्री गो नित्यानंद की जय, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि। सो प्रणाम टू ऑल, थैंक्स सो मच फॉर बीइंग हियर एंड द इनविटेशन। सो आई बीन इनवाइटेड बाय देव महाप्रभु टू शेयर सम वर्ड्स रिगार्डिंग Sri Harinam, Nam Katha, one of the different departments of Hari Katha, if you will. So many types of Katha we can share. We have been speaking a lot about Gaur Katha these last weeks, and this is kind of a natural consequence of that. It's part of Gaur Katha, Nam Katha, and Mahaprabhu himself being the one who established Sri Nam as, in one sense, our deity in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Different spiritual traditions, the name and the chanting of the name of God is part of the practice. But for us, chanting of the name of God is the practice in itself, which is a very interesting idea. Generally, that's somewhere in every single place. But for us, that's the whole thing. Nam Dharma. Mahaprabhu created, if you will, a religion revolving around the name of God. You take out the name of God, you have no longer Gaudiya Vaishnavism, basically. This is a very unique conception in which basically the whole of our sadhana, our practice, revolving around this specific practice of kirtan, sankirtan, japa, all these different nuanced expressions of Bhagavan in his most merciful form as Srinam. So, of course, I would like to share some words about chanting and what's the meaning of chanting for us, and which are the implications of participating in Sankirtan as we are trying to do in this 12-hour Kirtan program. And as you may recall, Srila Prabhupada will define the chanting as the crying of a child for his father, basically. So he very interestingly begins with this unique notion of chanting as crying. Nowadays you have all these types of weird yoga, beer yoga, gan yoga, ganja yoga, and what not. But we have our own type, which is not weird, although it may seem weird for some, which is crying yoga. That's another way of defining kirtan, basically. It's a way of trying to offer some tears from the heart of our hearts while we are trying to offer ourselves to Bhagavan. Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj very famously said when he opened one of his ashrams, he said, this is not actually an ashram, or basically it's an ashram, but the meaning of ashram is, this is a crying school. So we are here trying to learn how to cry for Krishna. That's bhajan. Take the hand of your guru and ask him to teach me how to cry. Basically, I mean, we know how to cry. We can even go to a theater school and learn how to cry. But this is the real offering of our tears. There are different levels of tears. You can cry as a badajiv, as a conditioned soul, but Krishna says that's unnecessary lamentation. Srila Prabhupada, you use that expression. Do not lament for that which is not worthy of lamentation. So indirectly, he's saying there is something worthy of lamentation. There's an ideal object of lamentation, if you will, in which we can dovetail that expression in the most perfect way. As we were saying the other day, there is place for crying in eternity. There is place for suffering in a way that is sweet. We are not promoting masochism here, but basically we are trying to enter into this paradoxical realm in which all things are possible. That's basically the meaning of Vrindavan given by Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champo. He said, Braj means that place where all things are possible. So, in other words, there is suffering there, but it's perfectly accommodated in the context of harmony and love and so on. And so, for entering that realm, my point is, we start to develop a new mode of thinking in which those things that apparently seem contradictory can find their perfect synthesis. So again, this crying, this calling, this chanting is a form of inviting Bhagavan to reside in our hearts and host him in the most perfect way. In India, they have this famous saying, Atithi Devo Bhavam, Atithi Devo Bhavam, which means basically an uninvited guest is to be treated as God himself. very interesting notion and very deeply ingrained in Indian culture, hosting culture, if you will. And the idea is very interesting because, again, every uninvited guest, not only guest, but uninvited guest, is to be treated as God, himself, implying God himself generally comes to our life as uninvited guest. No, that's that's Bhakti's prerogative. No, it's not waiting for us to say, hey, Bhakti, come. No. Bhakti comes, Jadrichaya, no, out of her own sweet will. No. Bhagavan, Bhakti has their own free will. We have our own will, but there's will from the other side. So this is the experience here. So the idea is Bhagavan comes to our lives in the form of Srinam. And we are expected to be good hosts, basically. Uninvited guest, but he's knocking our doors. That's the most necessary knocking we need, as we were spoken the other day. Nityananda Prabhu knocking on everyone else's door. Bhajagauranga offering himself. Just chant this, offer your faith. This is the currency. So we are trying to prepare our heart to ultimately make that, as we were speaking yesterday. The challenge is make our heart Vrindavan, make our heart Navadvip. There we will be, always there in the Dham. We may be here in Ypsilanti, Buenos Aires, South Africa, or whatever, but if in your mind, if in your heart, you are connected to Sri Dham, that you are there, basically. That was Mahaprabhu's subjective experience. He will see any extension of water, Jamuna, any sand dune, Govardhan. And he was right. It's not that he was wrong, ultimately. From one objective level, you may say, actually, this is not Govardhan and Jamuna, but from the highest supra-subjective plane, he was there, actually. And as we were seeing yesterday with Deva Madhava, better to be internally in the Dham, even if you were externally somewhere else, than to be externally in the Dham, but internally somewhere else. So for me, that was, I mean, I know that the time for sharing insight from the Manas Parikam already is gone. Sorry if I'm continuing here, but but that was for me one very important point. Now that if we all agree, get together and agree, okay, let's focus in this direction, let's invoke this particular place experience, that's happening, and we are there. I mean, that's the power of determination and focus in one direction and all together. Again, now we come to the notion of Sankirtan, which implies group work, group effort. As I like to say, you cannot perform Sankirtan without others. If you take others and it's only you, you can do some kirtan, but not Sankirtan. Yeah, you can do some kirtan here, some kirtan there, but Sankirtan, you need Sangha. Sangha kirtan to make it Samyak kirtan, complete kirtan. So on one side we can conceive this chanting as calling Krishna to come, but in another way, we can also say, actually, as we know, the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. So by chanting the name of Krishna, we are not calling Krishna, but Krishna is already in the call, if you will. Abhinatvam namonamino, says the Purana. Between the name and the named, between Nam and Nami, there is no difference. Anshila Rupa Goswami says in the Namaskam, well, if you would like to establish some difference, because we always like to establish differences, okay, no problem. So there's one difference. Nam is more merciful than Nami. The name is more merciful than the named. When someone asked to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you please give a definition of the name of Krishna? What's the name? What's Sri Nam? And he will say, Tamala Shyamala Tvisi Sri Yashodash Tanandaya Krishna namno rudhiriti sarva shastra vinirnaya. Interestingly, he'll say, well, the name of Krishna is he who drinks the breast milk from Yashoda. I know no other definition apart from that one. Like the point was, for me, Krishna's name is Krishna. He is the one who drinks breast milk from Yashoda. So that's the name, he said. Not like making this important point. There's no difference between the name and the name. So it's important when we are invoking Srinam to realize this. Of course, we can feel there is place, of course, for feeling I'm calling Krishna, Krishna, please come, give me your mercy. But also it's nice to conclude if the name is no different from Krishna? Well, I'm saying Krishna. Krishna is already there. I'm not calling him come from somewhere else. He's already there. In the very words I'm using to call him, he's already there. He's already immediately present in the call. So that's an interesting meditation, how to perceive him. He's already there. He has already come. And how much do I, again, can I prepare myself to be a proper host? Atiti Devo Bhavan, host of the divine. So Krishna's calling, Krishna's coming, sorry, and present in the name itself. And he's coming with his own, how to say, prerogative, his own will, trying to capture our hearts, basically. And that's our hope. That's our hope, that Krishna is a thief, we could say, in the form of his name. He's known as a thief long time ago. I mean, everyone knows that in Vrindavan. That's not new, something new. But in the form of the name, that's a special act of thievery he's performing in our hearts. There's this nice story that Srila Siddhar Maharaj liked to share, where two policemen were speaking in India. Maybe you know this one. So they were in India, two policemen. They were devotees of Krishna. They were policemen. So one of them tells the other, do you know what? I think there is a problem here, because our God is a thief. And we are policemen. So we are supposed to not promote thievery, but we are worshipping the thieves of thieves. So I think this may be a problem to our execution of our duties on a daily basis. So one of them were thinking like that. But the other one told him, no, actually that's not the problem. That Krishna is a thief, actually that's the ultimate solution. Why? Because a thief, especially if he is the king of thieves, if you're a good thief, a thief doesn't care for high walls, locked doors, passwords in between. A thief has in mind, I have to capture that. I don't care whatever you put in my way. I will get to grab that. And those high walls and locked doors are the ones that we have erected around our hearts. But Krishna is so expert that he will enter in between all those and grab what he wants to take. No? So our hope is that Krishna is a thief, basically. Our hope is not in the high walls that we ourselves have erected. There is no hope in that direction. So we have to call the supreme thief of thieves. But that's why this word Hare so many times in the Maha Mantra, which has to do with the thievery spirit of Krishna. There's a place for understanding Hare in that direction. So in this way, Sankirtan has to do with that, no? To achieving this deep sense of hope, you are a thief. And it is not a problem. Exactly, it is exactly the solution to every problem. And ultimately, that Krishna is a thief. Just in case someone asks you why your God is a thief, so you know what to tell in those moments. So we are engaging in this Sankirtan, in this sometimes translated congregational chanting. As we know, Kirtan has to do with spreading the glories of Bhagavan. Kirtan comes from Kirti, which means fame. And in one sense, the idea is to spread the fame of Bhagavan in our own hearts, to begin with. Because we may say, okay, let's make Krishna known for others. But also, automatically, the question is, how much do I know him? How much his glories, his fame, his position are known to me in every single sense. So as we spoke these days, of course, there is place for outreach, but outreach will be proportional to our in-reach. So in-reach naturally creates, as a byproduct, different forms of substantial outreach. So Sankirtan, the word Sam is very important. We shouldn't just like miss that one, because that's what makes Sankirtan something complete. Sam means, can mean Samyak, which means complete Kirtan. And of course we can take complete Kirtan in terms of quantity. We are a lot of people doing that. It's complete. We can take Samyak in terms of complete in sense of quality, trying to avoid by Nama Parat. We can take some in terms of Sanghas. We mentioned we need each other to do this, which is a very humbling approach to Sankirtan. And before starting Sankirtan, like, I need all of you so I can engage in this. Without you, I cannot do Sankirtan. I depend on you to be connected with Yuga Dharma. I cannot do it by myself. I have to do my part, but without you, my part is not enough. Something like this. And I can also, and I shouldn't also tell you, okay, do your part and I do not do mine. No, they will tell you, you do your part because I need you doing your part. And we will tell, I need you doing your part. We will give support to each other. This example, I think, I don't know if I gave it being here, of Srila Siddhar Maharaj when he was asked, I think I gave it here. What sadhu sangha? Remember? I gave it here. If you remember, maybe I gave it here.
The Napoleon.
Yeah. So sorry to repeat myself. I traveled too many places and don't remember where I say what. So he will say that sadhu sangha means, I mean, what's this, the definition of sadhu sangha? Everyone was expecting the shloka, the shastric definition, and he quotes Napoleon. Not precisely someone well known as the Mahabhagavat, let's say. But we can learn from everyone. So he will say, he will quote this Napoleon chair in which the soldiers of Napoleon were in one battlefield one night. It was quite cold. There was snow and they didn't have a place to stay in the night to sleep on the floor. And if they will fall asleep, they basically will die. So they were wondering how to survive the night, basically. So Napoleon told them, okay, stand up in a circle. And he told one of them, now you put yourself like if you're a chair, like sit like this. And he told the other one, the one behind you do the same, and you do the same, and everyone do the same. So you are acting like a chair for someone, and someone else is acting like a chair for you. So you are giving support to someone, and someone is giving support to you. And this way you can survive the cold night. So Srila Samaraj will say, that's sadhu sangha. It's a very substantial definition going to the very spirit of the thing. No? We are being supported by others, we are receiving support by others, and we are giving support to others. No? It's not just give support, give me support, give me support. You have to play your part. Although we may feel what I'm doing is not too much compared to all that is coming, what I can offer is a small thing, but you have to offer that small thing. Nobody else can do it for you. Like the example, if you fall into a well, like, I don't know how to say it in feet, 10 meters, you translate in
30 feet,
thank you. And you are just in the well, you cannot do too much, you cannot go out of the well by yourself, but you are expected to do something that nobody else can do for you, and that is, what will you do if you are in that situation? You tell me.
Yeah. Ask for a rope.
Yeah, first start to cry out, help, 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 something. Nobody can do that for you because nobody else knows you are there. So you have to start doing, that's your part.
Just indignantly expect someone to know.
Yeah. So you have to do that part yourself. Start to cry out for help. That's what we are doing in Sankirtan, if you will. And the help comes. And the person sees us, always compassionate. Okay, I'll bring the rope. So the person goes back, takes the rope, comes back, throws the rope. Now there's a second thing we have to do that nobody else can do, which is
hold the rope.
I mean, it's not the big thing, but you have to do that. And the other person is doing the main effort, actually. It's taking you out. And in the midst of your being saved, maybe there is some, I don't know, some bees there. Oh, they will, I better... No? Stop holding the rope. Say, no problem. Let the bees do whatever they like. I'm saving your life here. And you may say, but my hands are being hurt by holding this rope. It's not that silken-like, whatever. The person says, I'm saving your life. No, those are details. This is the principle. You are being saved. Hopefully we are not getting to that level, but the point is I have to realize someone else is doing the main part. I'm being saved. I have to do something. And eventually when the person takes you out from the well, you won't tell that person, did you see how nicely I caught on the rope? No, you won't tell that. You'll say, you saved my life. You are not feeling, I did it myself. But you had nonetheless to do something. So that's my point. Our individual part is there, but the group part, what we are receiving from others, that's in one sense the main thing. Although our little part sometimes feels like, oh, this is too much what I have to do myself. So sometimes it helps to see the bigger picture and realize how much is coming from the other side. So we do not victimize ourselves in the name of doing our part, of taking responsibility for our own lives. Mm-hmm. So to engage in Sankirtan means to engage from that humble perspective, basically. Mm-hmm. When I'm engaging in Sankirtan, I realize I'm being rescued and being saved by the grace of Srinam, by the whole parampara is taking that role. Come on, you can do it. You are being... Mm-hmm. And not engage in Sankirtan, enacting Sankirtan from the egoic position, like, I am being the chanter, if you will. I am being the main character here. I am engaging in independent doership. That's not Sankirtan. If you engage in Sankirtan from an independent doership side, that's Sankirtan, but not Sankirtan, if you want to put it like that. Mm-hmm. Because again, Kirtan means fame. The fame of Srinam has to be spread, not like, here I am. Egoic position has to be retired from there. So in complete kirtan, a devotee will transcend the notion that I'm being the chanter of the name. At one point, that idea has to dissolve. We won't be thinking, I am chanting. I am being chanted or something like that. No, Srinam is possessing me and doing something. And I'm being instrumentalized by divine grace. I like to give that play of words. You know, sometimes it's said that someone who writes becomes a writer, someone who works becomes a worker, and so on. And someone who prays becomes a prayer. In order to pray, you have to become a prayer. A prayer is he who prays. So similarly, you know, Sankirtan is something like that. We cannot just remain in that position separate. There is Kirtan and here it is me doing Kirtan. You have to somehow become Kirtan-like, some type of Kirtan Sayuja, if you will, some merging into prayer. You have to enter into the spirit of the offering, into the fire of Sankirtan. Sometimes we hear this expression, Sankirtan. Yajna, Yajna ir Sankirtana prayair, says the Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnantu Sa Krishna, and so on. So Sankirtan is a Yajna, and of course Yajna is a very unique Yajna, because some people may hear about Yajna and think, okay, where is the spoon, where is the ghee, where is the homa, the place for, where is all this technical paraphernalia. And it's there, although in a different way, basically, no? For example, our ears are the home where you will throw the ghee. Ghee is Srinam, pour there. Our tongue will be the spoon. Mm-hmm. Lochan Das Thakur is giving all this analogy in the Chaitanya Mangal. Mm-hmm. Our swaha, which will be the swaha, you have to enter there. You have to surrender your egoic sense of performer while engaging in Sankirtan. And if all that's in place, the fire of bhakti will reach newer and newer heights, if you will. And that's the real offering of ourselves in the fire of Sankirtan. Swaha means that. I offer myself to you. So we should always, again, we should not take for granted all these sacred expressions. We are to enter the fire. We may throw some grains into the fire. That's a user-friendly way of saying you are to enter the fire, actually. Let's begin somewhere. So this Sankirtan, again, is all about developing, counteracting, if you want to put it on some level, the effects of Kali, which has to do with quarrel, hypocrisy. And the antidote to that, the opposite of that, is love. And I like to say that love begins with, because love may be a very, one of the words that we use the most and understand the less. No. Love, I, you, I love you, the less. The three words that we'll understand the less in this world, maybe, and we use the most. So love, in one sense, begins with, it's a very high notion, divine love especially, but begins with cooperation, let's say. And Sankirtan has a lot to do with that. If we do not know how to cooperate with each other, how much we can speak about love. And Sankirtan, again, implies cooperation. I cannot do that if you are not cooperating. So all of us are sitting together and agreeing on these terms. okay, let's try to put our ego aside and let's try to offer ourselves in the most sincere way possible. And that's our commitment with the Sankirtan, Kirtan Mandal, if you will, with the circle of Kirtaniyas. And so real Kirtan is possible with that type of offering of ourselves, no? Offering of our individual egos into the fire, for the pleasure of the Supreme Person, basically. Like we were saying yesterday, at the end of our Manasa Parikram, like this notion of Ritu Dweep, Rudra Dweep, sorry, and Sakya, the connection with friendship, and the importance of developing our relationships with the Vaishnavas. Now, this is a very crucial aspect of our seva, our relationships. There we will see where we are standing on, actually, in our Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Bhajan. Because we can say so many things. I am an example of that. I do not stop parroting. And Krishna says, oh, you say all those things. Let's see after the class if you walk your talk. So one test after another. And especially one is put to test in one's relationships with others. And for eternity we are, as Deva Mala was telling the other day, in eternity our main relationship on a daily basis won't be necessarily directly with Krishna, Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha, but with so many other devotees and servants. With whom we will, our service will reach full consummation at the feet of our Ishtadev. So it's a very important point in Sankirtan as well, working together, teamwork, cooperation, friendship among the community, the family, basically. That's one of the main offerings we can give to our guru. Once someone asked one devotee, one guru, Gurudev, which is the offering we can do to you that will please you the most? And he will say, offer to me nice relationships among yourselves. Sometimes we do not conceive of this as a service. Working on my relationship with others, we generally do not think that's seva. That's something pleasing to Bhagavan, Guru, Hari, Vaishnava. But that's one of the most important things. You retire that, you can do so many service, but that's just external stuff, no? If the relationships are not in place, or at least working for them to be in place. There's always work in progress, no problem. So that's what we want to be part of, Sankirtan movement. We sometimes use the word Sankirtan movement, and as we know, the idea of movement is not necessarily limited or mostly, mainly connected with an institutional notion, but something deeply personal. Something deeply individual of connection between individuals. I like always to say, we do not join an institution, but we join a heart that is beating in a particular institution, and we end up in that institution because there was a heart which was beating in some way that I felt made my heart beat. And I felt, okay, I want to go where that heart is. And it happens to be in this particular institutional framework. I go there, but I'm joining a heart. You follow my point? Yeah. So when we speak about Sankirtan movement, joining a movement, please try to remember this is not limited to the institutional consideration. That's there on some level. Of course, we are not just anarchist people, just burn all institutions and so on. I mean, but they are like a glass helping us to bring the substance. So, like yesterday, I had the good fortune of being speaking after the parikrama a little bit with Uchpa and Dev Madha, and they were inviting me to come here again. I mean, I'm still here. So that's interesting logic. Please come back. I'm here. No, but after you leave, you come back. Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. That's, I mean, you cannot wait for me to leave to tell me to come back. That's very sweet from you. Thank you so much. So, and we were speaking, they were telling very sincerely, you know, like, oh, Maharaj, we feel that you are part of our family here. And I was feeling, okay, I feel the same, and that's why I'm here, basically. You know? I mean, I could feel that before coming, and because if not, I wouldn't even bother to come here. I mean, with all respect, but I mean, it's not that I don't know how to fill my agenda and I have to go somewhere. So I felt, okay, this is mutual, this is reciprocal. But institutionally speaking, we belong to different places. So we are different institutionally, if you want to put it in that term. But you are telling me that you feel I'm part of your family, and I'm saying I also feel the same. So then we have to recalibrate. So what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of being part? So we are different institutions, but one family. So that's an important point to make over and over and over. No? Different institutions, one heart. There's no obstacle for it. It's not that, oh, you are in another institution, oh, we cannot belong to the same heart, to the same family. Please do not conclude like that, because if we think like that, that goes against the very principle of Sankirtan, movement. Again, we speak about the movement. And when we say movement, again, it's not institutional thing. It's internal movement to begin with. Oh, my heart has been moved by that person. I'm joining that movement. That movement in the heart of that person. The heart is moving in a certain way. That creates a movement in my heart. I'm joining that. I mean, I'm sure here we have some senior Vaishnava Prabhupada disciples. I'm sure if we ask them to give their testimony about how the heart was moved by hearing about Prabhupada. And not only them, I imagine, most of us. So you feel some movement inside, and then you join the movement outside, if you will. But it all begins by the internal movement, no? And that will direct us to the external movement. As Mahaprabhu always mentioned, no? his inner reach took him to his outer reach. No? Whatever was moving inside of him overflowed and started to move other people and created the movement. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yanabhutale. That's how Rupa Goswami is respected by Sri Narottam Das Thakur. He established the mission of Mahaprabhu in the world, but Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam, which has to do, the desire which was in the mind of Mahaprabhu took external form, was systematized on some level by Rupa Goswami. At least a soft form of institutionalization in the form of books. We have to begin somewhere. And gradually it took shape. Like Srila Siddhar Maharaj likes to say, Buddha Mahaprabhu predicted, the name will be chanted every town and village. Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to conceive that. And that started to have shape in the form of Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Gaudiya. And then that was spread all over the world by Srila Prabhupada. You say, no? So we see there are different degrees of that. But it all starts with some inner movement. And that creates the external movement as we know it today, if you will. But we should never lose track of that. Okay, external movement, institution, this is spreading, but it all begins in some deep corner of one deep heart with some deep movement. And from that, all this is like overflowing in so many directions. So I'm saying these things so when we say, okay, I belong to the Sankirtan movement, I represent this particular institution in the context of Sankirtan movement. All this is in the context of we belong to this same family, to this same heart, and we engage in Sankirtan, again, as a way of giving something back, as a way of giving pleasure to the object of our affection. As I said, having loving relationships among ourselves, sometimes we do not see that as seva. It's important that we also keep in mind chanting is seva as well. It's not seva is something else. Seva is only washing the pots, if you will, or collecting money, or we have some like stereotype idea, this service. But sitting and chanting, that's seva. I would say even the more we see chanting as service, the more we will be able to see anything else as service. And the less you see chanting as service, the less you will be able to extend that service vision to any other thing you may be doing. So it all begins this root, chanting. And with the proper, again, movement, if we want just to conclude a play of words, we are speaking about movement. And we already say something about that Sankirtan movement. But Mahaprabhu also invites us to chant from a very particular place in our heart, from a very particular inner movement, which is Trinada Pisunichina Taroda Pisagishnu Namani Namanadina Kirtaniya Sadahani. My Guru Maharaj likes to say, if you want ecstatic movements, tremblings and all that, first you have to begin with another movement. Put your head on the ground. So that's the type of movement. It all begins, some humility is there. So gradually, with that movement, other movements will become more and more inside of us. In other words, this important verse of Sikshastakam tells, I mean, that requires a whole series of lectures for three lifetimes, basically. But briefly, this important verse, in one sense, is more important than the Maha Mantra, because it's telling us how to chant Harina. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, if you chant with following this verse, you attain prem. Implying, if you do not invoke this verse, you do not attain prem. And this verse represents nishtha, which is our intermediate stage to the ultimate goal. And nishtha, among many other things, has a lot to do with changing the disposition, the willingness to be transformed, to be progressive in our practice, to have that preoccupation. I want to grow. I want to become a better disciple. I want to surrender more. To have that healthy, not neurosis, but healthy preoccupation. So this is spirit through which we should be engaging in this chanting or crying yoga, as we say in the beginning. So from that side, we have to engage in Sankirtan. Maybe we can do a very loud kirtan with 108 mridangas, but the heart has to be crying. And you can just be singing in your closet, in your room. Nobody knows about that, but you are sincerely dropping one tear externally or even internally, and that kirtan is way more louder, way more creating more way impact in Bhagavan's heart, that no matter how many whoompers and whatever you can have. So some words. We are ready to move on yet?
Sure, Maharaj.
Okay. So some words I want to share with you today concerning some thoughts about the spirit of kirtan, the movement of Sankirtan. And I would like to conclude with some little surprise, if you will, that I would like to share. Yesterday we had the fortune, was a surprise for all of us, of having the darshan and harikatha of Srila Jayapataka Maharaj. So I fell with Dev Madha. Well, I'm kind of indebted with him. He's sharing the darshan of his Guru Maharaj and so on. So I thought I'll try to reciprocate accordingly. So I wrote to my Guru Maharaj yesterday and told Guru Maharaj, we are having this kirtan event. Is it possible for you to share with us a few words? So he mercifully agreed. So I hope that technology is assisting us to have him here. And he would like to share a few words in that connection.
But I don't see anybody else in the Zoom room.
Mm-hmm. One second. You have connected to the...
I'm in the room that you gave me the number for, yeah.
Okay.
And the password worked.
So maybe he's about to be connected. Let's see. I'm talking 12:45, so... Oh yeah, and there he connected. Okay. So, Guru Maharaj, are you there? Can we hear? Just one second that have no volume. Yes, can you speak to see if we can hear you? You want to use the mic to put there because it's coming from the computer, right?
Yeah.
You can show the devotees to him, not his red tires in me.
Welcome, Maharaj, to the Harmony Collective. Thank you, Maharaj, for joining us.
I'm honored. Thank you for the opportunity to meet all of you. You're very bright and enthusiastic. So I was asked, if I may begin, say a few words. I was asked by Padmanabh Maharaj, as you know, to say something. And that, in connection with regard to Harinam, given that apparently you've just had a retreat, japa retreat, I guess.
We're doing 12-hour kirtan today. And
kirtan.
Maharaj okay. just gave some nam kata, and you're the cherry on top of his kata.
Well, good, yeah. What can we say about a name? What's in a name? Quite a bit. They say that if you come home and your daughter says, oh, somebody so-and-so, somebody calls and said, did you get his name? Everything's lost if you didn't get his name, but if you got his name, then you could track him down, or if you got his ID, right, his social security number, you could take his whole worth and so on. So these are, of course, material examples of the power of the name and with regard to the name of God. It's so much more the case. It could be purchased by that. I want to say something, however, with regard to the series of lectures that I understand Padmanabha Swami has been giving on the homage of Brahma, homage of to Gopal Krishna. There's about 30-some verses there that are very rich with the Gaudiya Tattva or Siddhanta or spiritual conclusions. And the prayers of Brahma, if you will, it's notable that they end with Naam Kirtan. The whole stuti, the whole string of verses full of Tattva, they end with Naam Kirtan. He begins to sing the names of Krishna, various names of Krishna. And given that that's been the subject that he's been discussing, I doubt all of you have been attending. This is a weekend, and so it's a bit of a retreat. So many of you are present that it could not be there otherwise, but you should try whenever saintly people come to town to get their good association, regardless of their affiliation. Intelligent, good-hearted people. You can sort it out for yourself. With something to leave behind, something to take with you. You know, that's up to you. Myself, I remember when I was young, I had more opportunity to attend lectures than I do now. Now other people attend my lectures. How good that is, they can determine. But I used to think that if I could sit for what might be an hour, 45 minutes, or whatever the case, and get one good point to take home with me that I could put into my heart, and that could be then a stone, a cornerstone, or a stone in the foundation of the temple that I'm trying to build there, then my time would be well spent. So use your intelligence, discriminate, take advantage of good association. Try to draw something good from what I'm saying. It may be hard, I realize, but try. So the implication, in one sense, of course, after so many prayers of so much philosophy, if you will, in Brahma's prayers, it's a central point that, from the point of view of philosophy, that the prayers orbit around. That point being, of course, that Krishna is the fountainhead of all forms of divinity. It's a very important point for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because if Krishna was not the source of all forms of God, if he was an incarnation of Narayan, then there would be no possibility for us to attain Gopi Bhav or Gopi Bhav, because that's not happening in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, where God is worshipped with Aishvarya, then the possibilities of Dasya Rasa, servitude, Shanta Rasa are there. It's a very peculiar place, Vaikuntha. Most devotees there never see Narayan outside of their antakaran, their internal experience of him in meditation. The vast, vast majority of them.
many of them don't have prem. They're there for the Sukhaishvarya, for the perks of Vaikuntha. I'm living on the planet of God. Like most people want to move, maybe in the United States, to or from these days, more latter from California, to go to a better place to live, where the governor is whatever, you know, more one thing or another. But the prospect of meeting him, or that's not something they're even that concerned with. Obviously, a little more so with regard to Vaikuntha. But anyway, the point being that there are many different types of devotees in Vaikuntha. The more I talk about it, the less you'll want to go there, because you're all indoctrinated into Gaudiya Vaishnavism more than you realize, and so you have some scars for the what happens in Goloka, what the nature of the bhakti is there, the bhavas, and so forth, the intimacy, the prospect, and so forth, that doesn't exist in Vaikuntha. So if Krishna, in short, is an incarnation of Narayan, then Narayan may show that face in Vaikuntha, but it's not... He does that with his own entourage. It's not something you can enter into and be a coward boy or be a gopi there. You have to be a dasya. So without Krishna, because Krishna is the source of Narayan, he has his own abode. And so these possibilities of love that we're attracted to in Gaudiya Sampradaya exist. But at any rate, that's the central hub of the tattva of those prayers, as you know. And that said, philosophy, if you will, it has a point to it. It is not capable of capturing, and even coming close to capturing, that which it speaks about, that which it thinks about, which is beyond thought, beyond word. But when empowered people who have experience that transcends word, speech, mind, come back from that and then try to talk about that and put it in language and put it into thought, that thought has some power, no doubt. Right? That thought has some power. But its power ultimately will be determined by the extent to which it equips us and inspires us to practice, to engage in transrational exercises, which, of course, the best example of is Hari Kirtan, Hari Sankirtan. This is the method to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's madness. I remember sitting once with Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, a godbrother of my Guru Maharaj, and we were in Vrindavan, and there was some talk about Raga Bhakti. And someone was getting a little bit in their questioning beyond their adhikar, their ability to really assimilate and understand. And so he, rather than answer, he chuckled and said, "Prabhu, you try to do this. Chant Hare Krishna without offense. Because if you can't get beyond that, there's no question of entering into the Vrindavan Leela." So you might want to just focus there. So anyway, the philosophy is useful. It's useful to be a Gaudiya philosopher if and as much as in doing so, in preoccupying oneself with the tattva, it gives rise to inspiration and better equips one to do that which doesn't require a whole lot of thinking. Prabhupada was asked what to think about when chanting. He said, "Give the mind a rest." Yes, if you can't just listen and give the mind a rest, you can think with your mind about Krishna also. But what you can think about with your mind about Krishna will be only a shadow of the experience that you'll have of Krishna when you arrest, when the mind becomes arrested by the kirtan, and the form of Krishna, which is within his nam, expresses itself. When the guna, the lila, the rupa, and the parshadas, the form, the qualities, the lila, the associates of Krishna, they're all within his name. They will come out and reveal themselves. So in such successively, Rupa, Guna, Lila, Parshad. You can't have Lila without Parshad. Parshad means associates. So the fact, anyway, that Brahma concluded his prayers with Nam Sankirtan seeks, if you will, or serves to, for the one who pays attention, to illustrate this point. Krishna didn't respond to any of Brahma's prayers. He didn't answer anything. Brahma did Sankirtan, and then he went off, and according to the Bhagavatam, apparently that Sankirtan continued and caused his perfection. Brahma attained perfection, according to the Bhagavatam, through Sankirtan. For that, we can refer to the text in the 11th canto, Jayam Sada, Padibhavnam Vishtabhavam, Tirtas Padam, Shibhavarinchinutam, Sharanyam, Pritartiham Parantapala Plababdipuntam, Vande Mahapurushite Charanahara Bindam. This is a famous verse from Bhagavatam, and you all know it. Some of you should know what it means anyway, what's being said there. This is a verse that's describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 11th canto, 5th chapter of the Bhagavatam. It says, Dheyam Sada. The word Dheyam means worship. It's derived from or related to, say, Dimahi. Meditation. The Bhagavatam begins with an advocacy of Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Guru Swami in Kram Sandarbha comments on the word Dhimahi, and he says it's in the plural, and thus it implies that everyone can do it. It's for everyone. And for all times and all places. So what kind of meditation can be done at all times, in all places, by everyone? Dhyam Sada. Sada means always. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his comment on this verse of Bhagavatam from the 11th canto says, Dhyam is related to Dhimahi. Dhimahi is in the plural, as we've explained. Dhyam Sada, it means... What is the meditation that you can do, that everybody can do at all times and all places? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that himself in his Shikshastakam. What does he say? Nam nama kari bahudani jisarva shakti staktarpita niyamita smarane nakala. Niyamita smarane nakala. Nakala. Any time. Meditation should be done at certain times by certain people, facing certain directions, under certain conditions, with a certain condition of the heart, it becomes possible to participate in such. Dhyan, as described in the Gita, has some prerequisite, right? Meditation. You can advocate meditation, but the Gita advocates purification of heart so that one can meditate. Because, sure, it's easy to sit, but then again, it's not so easy to sit, is it? There are many things that cause you to get up. And they're in the heart. When they're gone, you can sit. If they're replaced by something that's more colorful, if you will, more attractive, that's the power. Of course, Nam goes into the heart, Harinam, in a very humble way. Some poets have described him as a sweeper. He comes to sweep the heart. This is the beginning of Nam, the efficacy of Nam. Cleansing, cheto darpana marjanam, cheto darpana marjanam, to cleanse the mirror of the heart, which is faced towards the world. It gets impressions from the world. Those should be erased and replaced with impressions of Krishna. So Nam is both a cleaner and a decorator, interior decorator, we can call him. So he enters with a broom, very humbly. Meanwhile, what's going on in the heart? So many multinational corporations are lit up in there with neon signs to buy me, be this, go here. And so many clever psychological advertising ploys, if you will, to capture the attention of a whole multi-million dollar expenses, if you will, just to capture potential consumers, buyers. Somebody comes in with selling brooms, you know. It's not very, the comparison is, okay, I'll buy one. All right, you know, it's free, take it. Okay, I'll be nice to the guy and take the broom. But meanwhile, there are many more, you know, attractive things offering themselves to me. You're offering broom, that means some work. Anyway, so a little sweeping, I'll do. But the sweeping of Nam uncovers, in the context of Nam, the potential of the heart, of the Atma, in connection with Bhakti, shine, just a spark of that will make the neon lights of the corporate elite go out, look dark, meaningless in comparison. Just a little experience of what it means to be an Atma in connection with Paramatma, with Bhagavan, makes the whole, it makes everything, all the prospects of the world, even in youth, the prospects are very strong. As a young boy, only at 21 years old, the whole world evaporated for me. This is meaningless. Just by a little glimpse of what the prospect of the self is in connection with bhakti, which is brought about by Nam, just a little sweeping. Sweep, 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 let the dust that comes off cover all those lights and put them out. So Mahaprabhu says what about this Nam? He says, he calls it Smaranam. He says, Smaranakale, doing meditation. He's speaking about Nam. He calls it Smaranam. Kirtana Prabhavi Smarana Swarabhi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put it like this: by the power of kirtan, the force of this, its efficacy in the present time, in particular, its capacity to arrest the mind and the senses is overwhelming, and it will afford one meditation, which is central to the rag marg, very naturally, without an artificial effort, if you will. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as an aside, used to say, let meditation on rag marg come later, when one is in the stages of ruchi and asakti, because without a taste, how will you maintain that? By taste it will come. So Mahaprabhu, the point here, Mahaprabhu says that these names of Krishna, these primary names, are filled with all of his shaktis, and they can be employed in meditation, if you will, at any time, at any place, with no rules or regulations that ordinarily govern the meditation on different mantras. This Nam mantra is not like that. It's for everyone. It can be done in your sleep and it will be efficacious. It can be done while eating, Bhagavatam says. Mahaprabhu was worried at one time because his tongue was always vibrating the name. But when he went in to use the bathroom facilities, typically you don't do worship in the bathroom. He considered the name like non-different from the deity. I can't bring the deity into the bathroom, but he won't leave my tongue. So he was concerned. And he later became known as, what is his name?
Gopal Guru Goswami.
Gopal Guru Goswami, Gopal Guru. Mahaprabhu said, Gopal Guru, you are my guru. He said to him, because Gopal Guru said to him, no, don't think like that. For the name of Krishna, there are no rules. It can be chanted anywhere, anytime. Mahaprabhu accepted this, incorporated that into his shikshastakam. So this is Dhyayam Sada. This is a Dhimahi. This is a meditation everyone can do anywhere, any place, at all times, at all circumstances. Now, of course, kirtan is different than smarana, but as much as kirtan, as I'm explaining, fosters smarana, well, you can't separate the two. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, one, kirtan, leads to the other, where one is chanting and it's bringing about spontaneous meditation upon the form, experience of the gunas, the leelas, and so forth of Krishna. So the verse in Bhagavatam, Jayam Sada Paribhavanam Abhishtadoham, it says, oh, he's all worshipable. Jayam Sada, all worshipable. At all times, all places, by everyone. Jayam Sada Paribhavanam Abhishtadoham. Paribhav Abhishtadoham. Paribhav means it removes all molestation, the molestation of the mind and the senses, the harassment of them. It removes them, and abhishta, it fulfills the real ambition, the prospect, the highest prospect of the Atma, of the Self. And then, paribhishtadoham, tirthaspadam, Shivamirinchinutam Sharanyam. So here we find that Brahma, after doing his sankirtan of the names of Krishna at the end of his prayers, continued on with this and reaches perfection through it, because Bhagavatam says here, Tirthaspadam Shiva Mirinchi Nutam Sharanyam. This is speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the verse goes on. But it says here that even Shiva, and Brahma, Rinchi here means Brahma. They worship, they sharanam, they tirthaspadam. His feet are like a tirtha. And Brahma and Shiva take shelter of them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his verse says, this means, Shrinichi means Haridas, that means Advaita and Haridas, Shiva and Brahma, respectively, in Kali Yuga, taking birth in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, engaging in Nam Sankirtan. Haridas Thakur, of course, was dubbed the Nama Charja by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Brahma. Oh, this is also the opinion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is also the opinion of Murari Gupta. There are other opinions also about Haridas and so forth, but this is a prominent one. That the Brahma of the Brahma Bimohan Leela, who ended his prayers in Sankirtan, was taken to Gaur Leela to perfect himself in Kirtan, taking birth as a Muslim for his offense. But an important point about Nam brought up here. Goswami says what? Vinattam Namanamino. The name and the named are non-different. But at the same time, there's a difference between them. What's the difference between the name and the named? Who can say?
Name is more merciful.
The name is more merciful than the named. That means that if we offend the name will stay with us. Mahaprabhu shows this also in the second verse of Shikshastakam. He says that even though I have anarthas, they're getting in my way, I have no real appreciation for the greatness, the generosity of the name, the flexibility with which it comes to me and affords me the opportunity to participate, the prospect that it brings. Because I have anarthas, it's I can't appreciate it, but it's staying with me nonetheless. It said if we offend the deity, Ivaparad, it'd be counteracted by Nam Kirtan. And we see this in the light of Haridas Thakur. As Brahma, he offended Krishna in his own mind. How much Krishna took offense, well, that's another thing. But it said that for whatever offense, however minor, he had to take birth outside the Varnashram system and in a in a birth that was not conducive in and of itself to what the Hindus practiced at the time. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism appeared within the context of Hinduism, if you will. So Haridas, from the orthodox Hindu perspective, was an outcast. Wasn't allowed to participate. But the generosity of Nam that was so centered on by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that stands on the head, this Nam Sankirtan of Varnashram. It does away with all the rituals, necessity of all of them. This is the speciality of the ritual of Nam Sankirtan, the yajna of Nam Sankirtan, as is described in the same chapter, 11th chapter of the Bhagavatam, 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Nityananda Prabhu embraced all the disenfranchised, socially and religiously disenfranchised mercantile community of Saptagram in West Bengal, and gave them one ritual that all of them could perform that would have a higher result than those of Varnashram that they had been ostracized from, that being Nam Sankirtan, right? So Haridas Thakur was embraced by Mahaprabhu. In fact, prior to Mahaprabhu's appearance, it's well known in Chaitanya's biographies that Advaita Prabhu called for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. And he called for him to Bhaidi Bhakti, worshipping Shalagram Shila with water from the Ganga and Tulsi leaves. He brought the Yuga Avatar. But it said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the same time, Haridas Thakur, through his Nam Smaranam, petitioned Krishna to appear. And that is the preoccupation of Ragmarg, Nam Smaranam, Nam Dharma. More than ritualistic worship. We have a place for Archana, of course, but it's also filled with Nam, surrounded by Nam, Kirtan, and so forth. So Haridas Thakur had a role also in bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world, and when he was elder, as he aged and became closer to the time of his departure, he made a request to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you put your feet, Tirthaspadam, as this verse in the Bhagavatam says, that are themselves a place of worship, a tirtha, Tirthaspadam. Put those feet on my chest and let me look into your eyes and leave the world in this way. And Mahaprabhu gave him that blessing. Put his feet on his chest. Jayam Sada, Tirthaspadam, Shiva Marinchinu Kamsharanam. Advaita, maybe he was kicked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he preached Mayavada philosophy, to be kicked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was what he petitioned for. That Mahaprabhu will show although he protests, he will show that he's actually worshipable deity of myself, not vice versa. That's another story. But with regard to Haridas, Brahma Haridas, Mahaprabhu put his feet on his chest. He looked at him in his face, and he passed from the world in this way. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the Muslim so-called form body of Haridas and danced with the body in his arms. And then he, with his own hands, dug in the sand what would become the basis of the samadhi or the tomb of Haridas Thakur, and said, whoever worships this place, it will attain all desirable results of praying bhakti. The implication was that by Nam, which was central, obviously, to the life of Haridas Thakur, all the Prabhu karma was eradicated. Even the Prabhu karma. Bhakti is said to be so efficacious compared to jnana that it can remove Prabhu karma, which jnana cannot. And making this statement, as the Bhagavatam does, it does so in the context of glorifying this anga of bhakti, Nam Kirtan. Nam Kirtan. And Haridas Thakur, Brahma Haridas, we should say, as the way they used to refer to him, is an example of that. How comprehensive is the method to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's madness, that it can remove all the parabdha karma, means the body, which is parabdha karma, of Haridas, which was untouchable from the Varnashram point of view, became worshipable from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's perspective by the virtue of Nam Kirtan. The power of Kirtan to turn something material into the spiritual. And Mahaprabhu said, when you get initiated, this becomes your potential. That your sadhaka deha, your practitioner's body, become chinmoya, chinanandamoya. The more you make your sadhaka deha spiritual by using your senses in relation to sense objects for the pleasure of Krishna, rather than in relation to sense objects to foster your material sense of identity, which is what we do without thinking. So think. Don't do that. Use them to glorify Krishna, then you'll get a body suitable for worshiping Krishna. As much as your sadhaka deha becomes purified from Nam Sankirtan, arising within naturally will be a meditative body for Krishna Leela. Two bodies. One for Gaura Leela, you can go in this body. And one for Krishna Leela. Such is the power of Nam Sankirtan. Then we learn a little bit about this from considering Brahma's prayers. So there's a few words. I don't want to take up time from your chanting. That's more important than my talking. So I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words and have a good company to meet with you. I have been invited to that location where you are in the past, and forgive me for not coming. I'm semi-retired now, but I did suggest that Padmanabh Maharaj go there, so maybe I'll come at some point. It looks like a nice place to come. Thank you very much.
His Holiness Sri Parai Maharaj Ki Jai. Panchakalpati Visha Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patita Nam Pavani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Napa Minam Jai. Hari Bol. What's that? Yeah, oh, I forgot about that.
Why not?
I'm glad you said right. Why not? So, now that we have a nice full crowd, we'd like to take a group picture with Maharaj to remember his visit, inaugural Harmony Collective gathering. And then, who's going to lead after this?
Time's at 1:30, Ananda.
1:30.
Oh, Anandaji. Okay, so we'll all come maybe. Maybe here's best because the light's coming in from the window. We'll just move the TV out of the way. And I'll get in.